always sing it real well, because that message is so powerful in God's Word. And we're going to close our message on that particular passage or refer to it. And but what I'd like to do is to go ahead and turn to our text. And our text is found in Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were fishers. And he saith unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. I want to preach on the subject of being fishers of men. If we want to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things, we must be fishers of men. That's part of the all things, isn't it? You know, we sometimes sadly pride ourselves in being the caretakers of sound doctrine. Really, we look at ourselves honestly, how often we should never be prideful. We are who we are by the grace of God. And I understand the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But God, who has ordained men to salvation, has ordained means, instruments that are used to bring people to faith in Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That is one of the means, the primary means by which God saves sinners. And I understand that that this particular reference in being fishers of men. You know, Jesus, that's one of the things that we need to learn from him as we seek to follow him to be fishers of men, is that he took things that people were familiar with, as they were familiar with fishing, and used that as a springboard to teach a spiritual lesson. And so he did that. And that net that we use to be fishers of men is the net of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That is that. And obviously there is so much to be considered as we take into account this being fishers of men and following the Lord Jesus. After all, his disciples followed the Lord Jesus for 3 years. And I don't have 3 years, I only got 35 minutes. So you can understand why I don't cover every nuance and every nook and cranny of being fishers of men. But I do want to bring out a few things that as I prayed and prepared, that God has brought to my attention for us. We need to understand that the kind of fishing that the sons of Zebedee were involved with was nothing like the hook, line, and sinker that we might typically think of. This was net fishing. And net fishing is hard work. The kind of net fishing that they were doing is that from the shore, it was hard work. So if I was to be back in that day and I said, hey, James and John, Peter and Andrew, hey, let's go fishing and just have a good time. We need a break. We need some rest. They'd look at me like I was crazy. Because their kind of fishing is hard work. And that's significant because it is hard work. Now, yes, in some ways it's simple. But there's labor involved. There's some difficulties associated with being a fisher of men. The occupation of the fishermen was an occupation that was labor intensive. They had huge, heavy nets to cast out and to draw in, to unload and to clean and to dry and to mend, and they had to process hundreds of fish. It wasn't a sport. It wasn't a time to take a nap. It wasn't a time to take a break. It was their livelihood. It was strenuous. And we understand that that is so critical to recognize. It's something that we're not sufficient of ourselves to do. It's too much for us. We cannot do it on our own. The spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. And so that ought to drive us to the Savior who said, follow me and I will make you fishermen. Only Christ can do that. And what better example, and we've had a few examples of Christ being brought out during this conference. But what better example to follow than the master fisherman, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That was not I might. It's a promise from God that he will make fishers of men. What an honor. Now, I was reading an article written by a conservative denomination. And it had all kinds of statistics of, you know, what kind of outreaches people are doing and all, you know, all these stats that were there. And it was interesting. And it reminded me of an illustration that I read not too long ago about a group that existed who called themselves fishermen. And there were many fish in the waters in this locality. All around there was water. The whole area was surrounded by streams and lakes, and fish were all over there, and the fish were hungry. Year after year, these who called themselves fishermen, they met in meetings and talked about their call to fish. They talked about the abundance of fish and how they might go about fishing. They continually searched for new and better definitions of fishing. They sponsored costly nationwide, worldwide congresses and conferences and meetings and training sessions to discuss fishing and to promote fishing and to hear about all the ways of fishing. These fishermen built large, beautiful buildings called fishing headquarters. The plea was that everyone should be a fisherman and every fisherman should fish. But one thing they didn't do, they didn't fish. After all the conferences and discussions and building, they didn't fish. They organized a board to send out fishermen to where many fish, many areas where it was unfished. The board was formed by those who had a great vision and courage to speak about fishing. People would weep about faraway places, faraway lakes and streams and oceans where the fish had not been caught. They would define fishing, promote the idea of fishing, and faraway streams and lakes where fish of different colors lived. And their boards hired staffs and appointed committees and held many meetings to define fishing, to defend fishing, to decide what new streams should be fished next. But the staff and committee members did not fish. Expensive training centers were built to teach fishermen how to fish. Who taught in their seminaries and Bible schools, and they had doctorates in fishiology. But these teachers never fished. They only taught fishing year after year. Graduates were sent to do full-time fishing to a distant land, a distant streams that were filled with fish. They published, they had big printing houses, and they published fishing guides. And speakers' bureaus were built and provided to schedule special speakers on the subject of fishing. Many who felt the call to be a fisherman responded and were sent to fish. But like the fishermen back home, they never fished. Some said they wanted to be part of the fishing party, but they felt called to furnish fishing equipment instead. Others felt their job was to relate to fish in a good way so the fish would know the difference between a good and a bad fisherman. And after one very stirring meeting on the necessity for fishing, a young fellow left the meeting and went fishing. And the next day, he reported that he caught two outstanding fish. And he was honored for the excellent catch and scheduled to visit all the big meetings possible to tell how he caught that fish. So he quit fishing, so he would have time to tell about the experience to other fishermen. And he was also placed on the fishermen's general board as a person having considerable experience fishing. You know what? That's not biblical. If all we do is we at the conference here is talk about fish and how to fish, but we never go fishing, we have totally missed the point. He called us to be fishers of men, every child of God, to be fishers of men. And so we must go fishing, right? How can you be, call yourself a fisher or a fisherman or a fisher of men if you never go fishing? And the other thing that's necessary is that we go where the fish are. Preaching the gospel in church, and let's just say everybody in the church house is been converted and showed fruit meet for repentance. I'm not going where the fish are yet uncaught. I'm not going there. We need to go. Ye into all the world. There's the motto of the U.S. Infantry. I remember seeing it growing up. My dad was in the Korean War. He was in the infantry in the front line. And one of the insignias on his helmet was a Norman shield with a sword, or a bayonet, I should say, upright in victory. And the motto for the U.S. infantry is, "Follow me." You see, the U.S. infantry goes in, and, you know, you can bomb all you want to, but somebody's got to go in. So somebody's got to be the ground troops to occupy the territory. And that's what the infantry does. Jesus, you see, these infantry soldiers, they pave the way for the supply trucks and all these other support groups, and maybe even citizens later on as they occupy a territory. But they are the trailblazers. Jesus is that trailblazer. He has not only has he told us to go, but he says, "Follow me." And he has blazed the trail. He has given us the example to follow. And so what I want to do is I want to look at a few things on how we can follow Jesus so that we can be fishers of men. And by the way, as you look at this command, by the way, it's a command, isn't it? It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Follow me carries with it the idea of hurry up and come after me. Look at an original. That's what it implies. Hurry up! And that is supported by the fact that those disciples, did they kind of dilly-dally around? Okay, I'll follow here. Hold on, let me take care of this or take care of that. They immediately, straightway, forsook their nets and followed Jesus. So what I'm telling you here, as God's people, let us cast aside those things that would easily beset us and hinder us from going to follow Jesus Christ and be fishers of men. Now, I'm talking to myself too. Anything that's hindering me from following Jesus Christ is going to hinder me from being a fisher of men. So the first thing I want us to recognize is that we must follow Christ in salvation. I know we're dead in trespass and sin. I get that. But there's a command given in the Bible, isn't it? What does Jesus say in Matthew 11? "Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That is a command that God gives to follow Him. This is the initiatory call to follow Him. Have you ever gotten to that point? Maybe the reason why that some people don't have a burden for those who are lost is because they've never seen themselves as lost. Are you in that category? Have you ever seen yourself absolutely, totally undone, filthy? All your righteousnesses are nothing but filthy rags in the sight of a thrice holy God, and that you are headed, unless the grace of God intervenes, to an eternal damnation in hell. Have you ever seen yourself there? Have you ever seen the fact that you are a dirty, rotten sinner, and you have tried to do something to better yourself? And you've been weary and you've been heavy laden and you're laboring to try to please God. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest." That's where you got to. And what Christ are we looking to? He didn't say, come to a babe in the manger. What's he referring to? He's referring to the fact of what John the Baptist said when he said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That Lamb of God, that one who took upon him the sins of all his sheep and bore the penalty and paid the price and endured the cross and despised the shame so that sinners could be saved. That's the one you look to. Have you ever looked to? Have you seen your need of Christ? And have you ever looked to the Lamb of God and trusted in Him for salvation? Because you're never going to follow Him unless you initially do that by the grace of God. You're never going to be a fisher of men. You're never going to go to heaven. Now, we want to look. Now, second, not only following Christ in salvation, but secondly, following Jesus in passion. Jesus had a passion. He had a passion for the Father. His meat and his drink was to do the will of the Father. And if we are going to be fishers of men, our meat and our drink should be to please the Father and do the will of God. That's a tall order, I know. But if we're going to follow Christ, that's what we must do. To have that kind of passion. The kind of passion that made him kneel down and fall down in the Garden of Gethsemane and say, not my will, but thine be done. That's the kind of passion that Jesus had toward God. You need that passion if you're going to follow Christ. But thirdly and quickly, you know, it says the zeal of the Lord of hosts, the zeal of the house of the Lord had eaten him up. The zeal, the passion of Christ, it consumed him. He was busy about the Father's business to such a degree that they thought he was mad. He wouldn't even take time to rest. He would pray all night. He would not eat or drink anything. He was considered mad. His passion was so great. You ever been so much into it? Yeah, I've heard of people playing video games. And they have such a passion for the video games, they won't eat and drink and they end up dying. Playing video games. Now, people can play video games with that kind of passion. Why can't we, by the grace of God, have a passion like that for our Heavenly Father? But then we also need to have not only a passion for God, follow Christ in passion, but we need to follow Christ in compassion. Salvation, passion, and compassion. It says there in Matthew 9, and verse 36, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Do you ever look at people like that? You know, if we look back and see from whence God has brought us, that's where we were. We were broken, we were bruised, we were destitute. By nature, we were the children of wrath. And praise God, Jesus had compassion on us. He gave us the example to follow, to have compassion on others. He had compassion. You know, the thing that's amazing to me is that Jesus, in showing his compassion, you know, he fed 5,000 and 4,000 in another case. But you know what? Some of them went there just for the food.
Did that stop Jesus from speaking the word? It did not. We're so worried about, oh, but they might have the wrong motive. Preach the word. Be faithful. Be good. Be kind. Go about doing good like Jesus did. Have compassion on people. People don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care. We see that Jesus said, Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Here is the God of heaven who knows more about sovereign grace than any of us ever could imagine. But that stop him from having compassion? But you know, sometimes that stops us from having compassion. Well, they're probably not one of God's elect. God have mercy on us. If we want to be fishers of men, we must follow Jesus Christ in having compassion upon sinners. Can you imagine? Here we have, who among us would go to the tombs and to save a sinner or give him the gospel of Jesus Christ? Who would give the gospel of Jesus Christ so that a sinner like the madman of the Gadarenes, who had a legion of demons in him, and he had broken chains, he was violent, he was just wicked man. Did he cut himself with stones? How many of us would have compassion on him? But that's the example Jesus set. That's the radical compassion that Jesus had upon a man who was the epitome of evil. I must hurry because my time's ticking away, and I'm going to go ahead and move to our next point. And part of what having compassion and passion is about is partly, well, I would say the greatest demonstration of Christ's compassion when he drank the bitter cup of the Father's wrath. And the thing that just strikes me, that here he is, he took on and bore the wrath of God and died for sinners for the reason why he was suffering that wrath of God. And one in particular was casting insults and ridicule to Jesus Christ. And then later on, Jesus says what? Today, you will be with me in paradise. That is the demonstration of compassion. Here is a guy, 1 minute, cursing and insulting God who was suffering for him. And yet Jesus still saved him. That's a kind of compassion. That if we're going to be a fisher of men and we're going to follow the Lord Jesus, that we need to have. And it's also demonstrated by the fact in following Christ in petition, which is dealt with some in the conference already. But what did he pray on the cross? He prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. These very ones who were ridiculing him, those very ones that were blaspheming him, those very ones who were making fun of him, prayed for sheep. Father, forgive them. They know him. And then we see, I won't belabor this much as dealt with, but we follow Jesus in fishing.
and the implementation of getting the gospel out. If we follow Jesus, we're going to preach about the law. If we follow Jesus, we're going to preach holiness and we're going to live holiness. If we follow Jesus, we're going to talk about sin and how wicked and evil and the consequences of the wages of sin being death, that is hell. We're going to speak on those things. Tell people to flee the wrath to come. And then Jesus said, when he began his earthly ministry in Mark 1:15, repent ye and believe the gospel. If you want to be a fisher of men and you want to follow Jesus, you need to do those things. Throw out that net. Throw out that gospel net. Personally, repent ye and believe the gospel. And now I want us to look lastly in following Christ in restoration. John chapter 21. Remember Peter? Sometimes, more often than I like to think, as far as myself is concerned, I look at the big mess I've made. I look at the failures that I've committed. And sometimes you feel like Peter, say, I'm going back to fishing for fish instead of fishing for men. Well, Jesus calls us to restoration. It says here in John chapter 21, notice Peter had backslidden. He says, do you love me? He didn't say, you're no good. You're good for nothing. Go ahead and fish for those physical fish. He did not say that. And what he's telling us here is that there is a space of repentance that's given to where we can be restored and we can be fishers of men. We can, instead of continuing in our sin, we can repent and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and concerning John, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. That's the key. Follow him. Follow him. If he failed, just follow him. And maybe you think, well, I'm not as good of a fisher of men as so-and-so and so-and-so. Two things. Number one, remember the man that was born blind? And what did, when the naysayers and the gainsayers started questioning, well, how could this be? How could you be? How'd he do it? And la-di-da-di-da. He didn't know anything. But he says, I don't know, but this one thing I know. I was blind, and now I see. We can do that much. God has opened our blind eye, and I see. And in case that's not enough encouragement, Jesus said to that wild man of the Gadarenes that he had saved by his grace, he wanted to, you know, follow Jesus, but there is a different way of him following Jesus. That is to go into all the world. That's part of following Jesus. And he says, go tell your family and your friends what great things the Lord has done for you. When I was first converted, I didn't know. I didn't grow up in a religious or sound religious family. I didn't know what, but they told me and said, just hand them this track and tell them what great things the Lord did. Can we not do that? If we don't have anything that we can say those things that we do know, and that is what Christ has done for us. God help us that we may be better fishers of men. I'm here to tell you, you could find numerous testimonies in this room here
those of you who are lost, to where the Lord God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done great things for each one of those who are saved here this afternoon. We could tell you what great things the Lord has done for us. Repent and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.